Dear songwriter, you've heard about how important it is to match your lyrics to your melodies and vice versa. But the truth is, that's really hard. In order to do it well, in order to do it in a way that makes sense, I think it can be helpful to break down melody and lyrics even further to its most essential parts. So here it is, as simply as I can put it. Melodies are made up of notes. Lyrics are made up of words. And words are made up of syllables. So in this episode, I'm going to discuss those essential parts, how to break it all down so that you can implement certain strategies, certain tools to then write catchy lyrics and melodies that feel natural and conversational. So essentially, by having an understanding of this breakdown that I'm going to go into, you'll be able to use that as a way to strengthen your songwriting and make it feel more fluid. My name is Connor Frost. I'm a professional songwriting mentor who's helped hundreds of songwriters now to write their first collection of songs. And this is Dear Songwriter, the podcast to help you confidently write and release your music so that you can live out your most musical and creative life. Let's get into it. Welcome to the show. It is good to be here. It's one of those things when it comes to lyrics and melodies where it's like we know obviously that lyrics and melodies are related, and we know obviously that they need to match each other in a way that's going to make sense for a song, in a way that's going to feel good for the listener and for the songwriter. But a lot of times we don't know why that is, or we don't know how that is, or we haven't broken it down completely in order to have the best understanding possible. Like I said in the intro, that's what I want to do today. So first and foremost, let's talk about melody. So I mentioned that melody are made up of notes. So let's talk about melody and notes. So when it comes to melody, over the course of a song, right, you have a certain amount of melodies, and they each serve different purposes. So a verse melody might serve a different purpose than a chorus melody. And they also may contrast melody to melody or even section to section, meaning that within your verse, you might have two different melodies that contrast each other but belong to the same family. And then those series of melodies that you have in the verses are going to be different from what you have in the chorus. So as an example, right, if we were to take Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball, which is old now, I recognize, there's a clear contrast between melodies and notes from the verse to the chorus. You have that big high note chorus, long note, whole note chorus for Wrecking Ball. And then for the verse, shorter notes, a little bit more rhythmic, lower notes to bring us into that chorus. So again, these melodies are made up of these notes, and the melodies serve different purposes depending on the section of the song or depending on what you want that melody to do. So that's melody and notes. Now let's talk about lyrics and syllables. So when it comes to lyrics, those are made up of words, and words are made up of syllables. And lyrically, we're looking for contrast as well. Again, not all the time. These are guidelines that are meant to be broken, but perhaps the chorus, we use words that create lyrics that speak to a main concept of a song, a moral of a story, so to speak. Whereas the verses, they may include more descriptive words, create lyrics that, quote, unquote, paint a picture, set the scene, whatever you want to call it, tell a story, and again, set up the chorus, set up the main idea, just as an example. But we need to take it a step further and consider syllables. And that's because syllables are not only related to the words, but they go back to melody, and they go back to an important part of melody, which is rhythm. Melody is made up of rhythm and pitch. Syllables relate specifically to rhythm. As an example, I went to church growing up. I went to a Presbyterian church. My parents were the music directors there. So from ages probably 2 to 16, I went to church. And the hymns that we sang, you saw the sheet music, and then you saw the lyrics directly underneath. And the words for the songs were broken up into syllables with little dashes to match the corresponding note. So the most well-known example is at the end of a hymn, you often sing the words, Amen. And so there was like a dash between ah and men, which showed the sequence of notes that corresponded to that. So why is it important? It means we have to be strategic, not only about lyrics we place or words that we use, but the actual syllables of those words that we assign to those certain notes. So in Wrecking Ball, again, to go back to Miley Cyrus, I'm guessing it's no accident that she chose the lyrics in the chorus, I came in like a wrecking ball, and she assigned those specific syllables, wrecking ball, to those specific higher notes that landed in certain places. Because not only is there the actual imagery of it all, right, the powerful imagery of a wrecking ball, but the syllables fall in places and in such a way that the delivery and the cadence of that melodic phrase feels strong and important. The lyric Wrecking Ball falls on a prominent beat, a beat where it feels like we've landed. And that could speak to the lyrical significance of a wrecking ball, almost like we can feel that ball landing and doing its damage. So being intentional about where these syllables fall. Okay, conceptually, let's assume that makes sense. If it doesn't quite yet, I would take a listen to this again once I go through the rest of this. It took me a while to understand, certainly, and it took me even longer to put it into practice. So let's discuss that. How do we as songwriters put that into practice? We've established the importance of these relationships, melodies to notes, lyrics to syllables, and then notes to syllables. So what I would say, the next time you're writing lyrics, or maybe even more accurately, the next time you're revising lyrics, maybe you're on your draft 2, just as an example, I want you to ask yourself the following questions, and I'm going to give you a for instance. Question number 1 to ask is, what are the prominent notes for each melody, and where do they fall? So you might identify a prominent note by the way in which you want to emphasize that note. So a lot of times when it comes to writing songs, that happens on what's called a downbeat, a clear beat 1, a clear beat 2 of whatever melody you're creating. Maybe it's the highest note of a chorus, Wrecking Ball as an example. That might be a prominent note. We're setting up for the highest note of the chorus, or maybe the highest note of the bridge, right? We've worked all song to get to the bridge, which is going to be the apex of the song, and that's where we hit the highest note. So identify the prominent notes for each melody and get clear on where they fall. Question number 2, what are the less prominent notes for each melody and where do they fall? Examples might be more like passing notes, similar to like how you're telling a story in person. There might be certain cadences, there might be certain words that you emphasize for dramatic effect, and then there might be words that serve as just transitional pieces. Same goes with your melodies, same goes with your lyrics. So what are called passing notes, right? I took music analysis in college, right? And we always talked about passing notes, transitional notes. If you have an eighth note phrase, maybe it's the second note of 2 8th notes because you're going into maybe a more prominent note. Pickups, what are known as pickups to the starts of phrases. I remember when I was in wind ensemble in middle school and high school, oftentimes we would start on the pickups of certain measures. Okay, everybody, start on the pickup to measure 12. So pickups may not be as prominent. That's question number 2. Where are the less prominent notes and where do they fall? Question number 3. Once you've identified the prominent notes versus the not prominent notes, do the words and syllables that you've chosen reflect the types of notes that we've described, prominent versus less prominent? Are we choosing words that feel prominent, like the notes feel? And the less prominent notes, are we using words that could be passing words as well? Or they could be transitional words, right? Are we mixing and matching? If we are, is there a strategy to that? Are we doing so intentionally if we are mixing and matching? Let me go through those 3 questions one more time. Number 1 is, what are the prominent notes for each melody and where do they fall? Number 2 is, what are the less prominent notes for each melody and where do they fall? And then question number 3 is putting it together. Do the words and syllables that you've chosen reflect those types of notes? Cool. Let's talk about general rules of thumb. Rule number 1, for prominent notes, don't choose weak words. An example of a weak word might be an article, right? The, an. So again, to use Miley Cyrus's song Wrecking Ball as an example, she uses in her chorus, but only reflected as a passing note in her melody, which is part of the simile like a wrecking ball. So it's not on a prominent note. It's on a passing note, which helps build the simile to get us to the more prominent notes, wrecking ball. And in her verse, she also uses in the lyric, a love no one can deny. But that in that lyric serves as a pickup note, simultaneously serving as a transitional word or a word to help transition from the previous line, which is, we kissed, I fell under your spell, and goes into a love no one can deny. So again, using as a transitional syllable and transitional word. So think about it. If you were to choose different words for wrecking ball, because of the melody, because of the syllables, the idea is you want to pick words that are going to reflect the strength of that. So for those prominent notes, don't choose weak words. Rule number two, it should feel like a natural conversation. What was that movie? I think it was View from the Top? No. It was like some airplane movie with Mike Myers. Was it View from the Top? I have to look it up. My podcast editor will put it in the show notes, hopefully. But he says, don't put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable. So the idea is, like, if you were to read the line, there are going to be certain cadences. There are going to be certain syllables that you emphasize just based on the poetic nature of even just speaking. If it feels weird to say, there's a good chance, I would argue, that it's going to feel weird to sing as a melody. So trust that connection as a way to help you figure out what the right emphasis is and where those more prominent notes are going to fall. So that's rule number two. Rule number three, cut out the dead weight. I talked about this actually a little bit on my last podcast, but essentially it may not always be about finding the right syllables and words to match your notes and melodies, but actually be about cutting out certain syllables and words to rework your notes and melodies. So I had a lyric recently which read, am I invited to more weddings or is this normal for my age? And based on how the melody was constructed, adding the or made it feel strange. Based on how the melody was, it didn't match up the way that I had hoped or in a way that made any sort of sense. So instead of making any crazy changes or changing the words completely or whatever it might be, I simply just took out or and I got rid of that note and that syllable completely. So then it read, should I be invited to more weddings? Is this normal for my age? And that made the melody flow much more easily. So by disposing unnecessary syllables and words, you can create more space for your notes and melodies, which could lead to clearer, more concise, and catchier melodies and lyrics. So again, be open to cutting certain things out and cutting syllables and notes completely. And again, I talked about this in episode 101. If you want to check that out, definitely do so. All right, so let's summarize this. 2 points. Number one, be intentional about your lyric and melody placement. I'm always talking about intentionality because I think it's so crucial. I think it's what separates the good songwriters with the great songwriters. And you can be intentional about your lyric and melody placement by thinking in terms of not just lyric and melodies, but even further, words, notes, and syllables. Point number two of summary, prominent notes should go with prominent syllables. Be careful not to waste them on weak words and weak syllables. So if I were to put a bow on this, which I'm doing right now, that's that the relationship between lyrics and melodies runs deeper than just that. And our ability to break it down even further, like we've done in this episode, and to think intentionally, to draft intentionally, to place words and place syllables intentionally could make a huge difference. That's pretty much it. Hope this is helpful. If it is, let me know. Shoot me a message on Instagram at Connor L. Frost, C-O-N-N-O-R-L Frost, and let me know that you found this helpful. And I will talk to you next week. Until then, happy writing and happy editing and happy lyric writing. Let's get even more specific. Anyways, have a great day. Talk to you soon.